Rosoro is still the king of fungicides. Its fast action and long residual make it an excellent defender of grain quality and yield, and the enemy of both head and leaf diseases. When your goal is better grain quality and even higher yields, use Prosoro fungicide at its recommended high rate of 8.2 fluid ounces per acre, and the crown of higher profit could be yours. Learn more at Prosoro.us. Check with your state pesticide regulatory agency for specific restrictions in your state. Always read and follow pesticide label directions.
All right, thanks a lot. Welcome, Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, and hey, you know, new is good, and here's a guy I've never talked to on the radio before, but he is the technical development lead for Syngenta Spring Wheat, Jay Stanley. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Mick.
Thanks for... I'm pretty good, pretty good. We have a mutual friend, Joel Ransom. He kind of saw you through your latter part of your education experience.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, I learned from the best there, Joel, and also from Grant Marion, too, who followed in Joel's footsteps. So, yeah, I've had the opportunity to learn from a lot of great people in this area.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, and yeah, I got to thinking, well, we got to kind of figure out what's going on with the wheat crop here. And, well, Joel's retired now, so who can I call? And, hey, it's Jay Stanley who's going to – you've had a lot of windshield time this week, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the past month or so, we've been really busy trying to see what we might have for data points throughout the state, checking on the wheat progress overall, too, and mixed feelings about what we're seeing, but yeah.
So let's start in northeast North Dakota, Cavalier and Pembina County, Walsh County, Ramsey County. How are things looking there?
So I've seen some variability there. I guess the further north I've been, it seems that the crop was more delayed, smaller, drier. I know they got some favorable rains maybe a week or week and a half ago when we had a lot of those systems moving through. But overall, I guess it seemed that everything might have been delayed emerging until they got those rainfalls at the end of May. And then as you move farther south in the valley and more east into northwestern Minnesota, it seemed that the establishment of the wheat looked really good, especially in the northwestern Minnesota part. But you could tell differences for sure for how planting timing affected the establishment. I'm sure, too, the equipment that was used, if guys were using a drill or an air seeder or that you could see differences, too, and seeding depth and all that, if they were chasing moisture or not. So unfortunate, but very much a variable year for sure.
Yeah. Well, describe the difference between, you know, because this year might be the litmus test for whether you should have chased that moisture or not, or using an air seeder versus a drill. What did you notice as the difference?
Well, once again, it depended on the environment there, too. And I was talking about that with somebody the other day, and I said, well, you know, hindsight 2020, I'm going, well, I still don't know in certain fields if we should have chased moisture or not on that. Obviously, being very careful to do that in the valley, example with that, up by Park River area, seeded some of our trials at about an inch and a half, right on top of moisture, and it wasn't enough moisture to get it out of the ground, and then when it rained, it really sealed up that soil. So it took it a while for the wheat to come through. But yeah, just I get, and obviously each grower is going to know their ground the best there, but it's a great year definitely to look back at how the stand was established, how it's growing now, and see if there needs to be any adjustments to the management that's used with that too. But I think a lot of guys are experiencing something that might even be new to them, even these guys that have been farming for a while. So yeah. Kind of unfortunate. You know, a lot of times we can seed with close proximity for our seeding depth or things like that, and the rain will help cover up those differences, but we didn't get that rain right after the planting, so it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Now, if a guy's just spent $250,000 on a new air seeder, he's bound to say, yeah, this thing works pretty good. But is there a noticeable difference between the precision of an air seeder or a good old drill.
Yeah, and I think they'd be upfront in that most of the time with the air seeder on that there's going to be more variability in the seeding depth and seed placement. And like I said, normally we're obviously trying to target good seed soil contact and have moisture there and uniform seeding depth so that when the crop emerges, it's about the same time, the whole field. But and rain will usually help, as I said, cover up some of those differences. But yeah, that was just one thing, especially out in western North Dakota, that was apparent, some differences there. And finding out later, this field was seeded with a drill, and this one was with air seeders. And you could definitely tell differences in establishment and growth right now, too. So,
okay. All right. Well, there are, in northwest Minnesota, especially in the dry areas there's some wheat that's not very tall, 8, 10, 12 inches tall, starting to head out. Is that a concern, and is that wheat yield going to be way down, or how do you describe that?
Yeah, that's something for sure we're seeing in a lot of places, which makes it very difficult for development of wheat, of seeing those differences among varieties that are already released and ones that are up and coming, more or less. But yeah, I guess overall you can say if we have less plant biomass, a shorter stature plant because of that too, that we're going to have less resources available for when that kernel is filling, accumulating dry matter in that later in the season, really accumulating that yield. So it's an unfortunate thing, but we can already see now that, yeah, we're going to have reduced yields, but we don't have to consider it a total loss yet. We'll see how much rain we get here the rest of the season, but for sure, with the way it looks now, we're going to have reduced yields in most of those places that I've seen throughout the state. So,
and then in parts of South Dakota, there are some nice-looking wheat down there, I hear.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Just over the border, south of Linton and that, it was still very dry, you can tell there. But as you get a little more east of that, the wheat looked really good, you could tell. It's under some drought stress, too, but established good, at least. And that was the big issue in a lot of North Dakota, you could tell, that the establishment differed so much within fields, too. So, yeah, it looks like South Dakota has had some timely rains that, but they'll still need it with these heat waves that we keep getting too.
Yeah, alrighty. Well, and, you know, wheat is a grass, so, man, the cooler temperatures we're going to have through the weekend and maybe some good rain. Boy, this is just what the doctor ordered for the wheat, or is it too late?
Yeah, well, that heat wave that we had a couple weeks back now was really unfortunate timing for a lot of that wheat, because it's at that critical period where the plant's determining, okay, how many tillers am I going to keep, you know, into the season? And also too, other yield components, like the number of spikelets that we have per spike or head there. And so unfortunately that's been determined for, I think, most of the wheat that we see out and about by now. But yeah, we still, with these cooler temperatures and a little moisture, that'll be very helpful for, as a lot of this is going into flowering timing too. So another yield component, the kernels per spike that we end up with per spikelet will definitely be determined by that, how much flowering, we get at this time, and those, favorable temperatures and moisture would be definitely helpful for that. So.
Is this a year to maybe do a little nitrogen on the wheat, or is it maybe money poorly spent?
I'd be hesitant to put nutrient down from what I'm seeing a lot, and that might be the question, too, for fungicide, too. I saw that NDSU in their crop and pest report had said the risk was low as of now. Andrew Friscop had said that for fusarium head blight or scab. But could change with the rains that we have up and coming here. But Yeah, I would be very hesitant, and part of that is because where we had those, we had some delayed emergence and then this extreme heat. It appears to me that the root system in a lot of these areas, that the root system of the wheat plant is not very well established. And so with that, then, it's not able to tap into, if there's not a lot of moisture there in the surface, it's not able to tap into that subsoil moisture that's down there and where some of that nitrogen's currently sitting, more or less. But yeah, I guess everybody can make that decision locally, and that's where it helps to have, if you have your local agronomist too, that can provide input on that. So
for sure. All righty. Jay Stanley, Syngenta's technical development lead, thank you so very much for excellent report on the quality and the probably the size of the wheat crop out there this year. Appreciate it, and I would assume people can get more info on AgriPro and Syngenta's wheat on the website.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much, Mick, and thank you all the farmers working hard out there too. I think that's a great thing to see in this area of the country, that they've dealt with many issues throughout the years, and farmers are definitely resilient. So we'll get through this, keep moving, and we can continue to be optimistic. So
right on. All right, Jay Stanley, thank you very much. This is Farm Talk.